Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. We have to realize that I'm only in control of my internal situation. Mera swastiti, you can say. The internal situation. That's the only thing I have control over. Jo paristiti hai, the situation around me, I don't actually have any control over it. But we work in opposite, meaning we look to the paristiti in order to give me my swastiti. Though if everything is great outside, people are doing what I want them to do, they're treating me the way I want them to treat me, the weather is doing what I want it to do, the stock market is doing what I want it to do. Agar paristiti is mere saab se, I'm great. Mere swastiti, my inner situation becomes great. But when the paristiti is not according to what I want, people are not dancing according to my tune, mera swastiti kharab ho jata fir, mera mood off ho gaya. I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm frustrated. But this is actually the reverse of how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, I create inside me a swastiti that is peaceful, that is love, that is consciousness, that is joy. And that is what I exude out into my paristiti, into the world outside. That's the way that we're supposed to do things. So when the people around us, this paristiti, the situation around us is negative, people are being negative, how do we stay positive? Well, it's actually the same thing. What I'm doing is I'm taking in their negativity. All these people around me are complaining, they're grumbling, they're fighting, they're being judgmental, they're doing whatever they're doing that is negative. And what I've done is I've allowed myself to absorb it all. Taki, I become negative on the inside. We are energetic beings, right? As we look very solid, but if you actually put us under an electron microscope, what you'd see is energy. You'd see whirling electrons. You wouldn't see this fine line between where I end and the world begins. It's just that the tools of our eyes are not as fine as an electron microscope. So we think we have borders and boundaries, but actually it's energy. Now that energy is interacting with energy in the world around us. Not just on an atomic level of our electrons, but on a deeper energetic level. When we speak about feeling energy, feeling vibrations, feeling this isn't happening just on the level of an electron. It's happening on an even deeper energetic level. But we're energetic beings. And so our energy is interacting with the energy in the world outside. Now there's two ways for energy to work. Either we receive or we transmit. And we actually do both. So we receive energy from the world around us, and we transmit energy to the world around us. If it is cold outside, I'm going to catch a cold if I sit in the cold long enough. That literal physical coldness of the world outside has actually penetrated me and become cold inside. Similarly, if there's all this love in the world outside, so instead of that physical energy, the energy of love, chances are, even if I was in a bad mood, if I'm surrounded by lots of love, lots of good vibrations, chances are it's going to penetrate me also, and I'm going to start to feel better. So all of the types of energy are able to penetrate us. But we also exude them into the world, so it goes both ways. If I'm angry, and you've just spoken about this, being around people who are negative, it's impacting you. Why? Because they are exuding it. It is not just confined to their physical beings. That negativity is actually being exuded out of their bodies, like an air conditioner exudes cold air. You literally feel it, and it impacts you. But this is where it's so important to realize you're also an energetic transmitter. And this is where we get to become really conscious. When you are in places where the energy around is full of love, full of positivity, full of divinity, full of spirituality, do a little internal switch to energy receiving mode. So you're sitting in the Ganga Aarti, turn on that little switch inside that says energy receiving mode. And literally feel yourself just fill up with that divine energy. You're with someone you love. Allow that switch to just receive. And then you're in a situation where there's negativity. Go inside and do a little internal switch from receiving to transmitting. And just focus now. Now I'm a transmitter. I've got all this stored up of great love and divinity and peace and goodness and positivity that hasn't only come from outside, but I'm actually manufacturing it inside me as well. When I feel love, I'm creating love. It's not just the vibes I got in the Aarti. The vibes in the Aarti have turned on my internal positivity manufacturing plant, my internal love manufacturing plant. So I'm now manufacturing it as well. Aarti's over and I'm still manufacturing this. So we've got all of this in us. Do a little internal switch from receiving to transmitting. And as you're sitting there with them, just literally picture yourself transmitting that love into the world. Not with the agenda that it's going to change them. It's not about I'm going to change you. But at least enough into your world that your immediate energetic environment now is an energy of love. The example that I always give about this is if you go scuba diving or even surfing in the ocean where it's cold, you wear a wetsuit. Now, people think that the way that a wetsuit works is it keeps you dry, but it doesn't. That's what a dry suit does. A wetsuit is actually an amazing piece of technology. What a wetsuit does is it actually allows in this very, very, very thin layer of water, which your body heat automatically warms up. Right? Our body creates heat. Get in a cold bed in the night. It's freezing for the first few minutes. And after 5-7 minutes, it's beautiful. Your body has created heat. So you put on a wetsuit, very, very thin layer of water is trapped inside. Your body heats up that water. Now you go in the cold ocean, but you've got this thin layer of warm water. that keeps your body warm. So on an energetic level, I mean, heat is also energy, but on a different type of energy level, think about literally transmitting that internal love, internal positivity into the world around you. Give yourself kind of a wetsuit of love and positivity when you move through negative environments. And if you're lucky, it'll actually impact them as well. But don't do it with that agenda. Do it only with the agenda of you transmitting it into the world such that your environment, your energetic environment, is peace and love. And I say don't have the agenda of transmitting it to others only because otherwise we set ourselves up for frustration. Otherwise we think that somehow it's up to us to make them positive. And then the focus becomes on, I'm going to make you positive, going to make you positive, going to make you positive. And actually it ends up just, you know, making me all tense and contracted and doesn't actually work. But if I can really just focus on transmitting love and peace, A, it's the opposite of receiving their negativity, so it's worked against that. B, it's surrounded me with love and positivity. And then C, bonus, because they are also energetic receivers in addition to being transmitters, and you're not actually wearing a wetsuit, they're going to pick it up. And slowly, 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 if they're in receiving mode, it'll change them. But don't feel like that's your responsibility. Your responsibility is just to transmit. What they receive, how they receive, is up to them. But literally, do a little internal visualization of that switch. Ah, now receiving. Aarti. Love. Negative situation, transmitting, love, peace. It works beautifully. How do we attain? Who do we have to become to attain? How do I get? Right? Just by surrendering. Just by surrendering. Now, what we have to surrender, I was speaking, I think it was last night, about the spiritual heart attack that we have, right? When our vessel becomes clogged. So, me propt nahi kar paungi. If there's no place in me with which to get, think for a moment. You're walking down the beach. You collect seashells. They're very pretty. You hold them in your hands. You get to the end of the beach, someone is pouring diamonds out of a bucket. Kya karogi? What are you gonna do? You're gonna hold on to your seashells? No. Going to let go of your seashells? So what are you gonna do? You've got your hands full of seashells. You've picked them up, nice rocks, nice seashells, you've picked them up. Now this man has a bucket of diamonds and he's trying to pour them in your hands, but your hands are full of seashells. What are you gonna do? Yeah, exactly, you're gonna get rid of those seashells. Because you know, mujhe diamonds prapt karna. I have to attain these diamonds. First I have to get rid of what's already filling my hands up. So if I'm looking for that attainment of the divine, well, first I have to get rid of that which is blocking me from it. What am I already filling myself up with? Look at the ego, look at the fears, look at the desires, look at the attachments, look at the expectations, look at the judgments. Look at all that. And then, like with the seashells, just go, thank you, mujhe diamonds lena. The diamonds are there. That divinity is there. Any minute and every moment. You don't even have to wait till you get to the beach, to the end of the beach. It's there end of every moment. As soon as you get rid of that which is blocking you, preventing you from holding it, from attaining it, it's there. That's the grace. The minute you clear yourself out, grace flows in. In order to hold it, first of all, you have to make sure that you really, not just fill yourself up with it like it's something from outside, but allow it to become you. Allow yourself to be not just filled like a tank of gas, but actually transformed when you're here. That's the path, because when you're transformed, then it doesn't dissipate, it doesn't go away. You'll find within yourself the ability to turn back on that internal peace and love and divine connection manufacturing plant. Yes, here it happens through Aarti, through the divine experiences, through the places, through the energy. There you may have to work a little bit harder to turn it on. And ultimately, the point of our spiritual practice is freedom. And this is where no reaction is so essential. But this is where our swastiti has to be so set. If my internal situation is not set, I'm going to react. I'm going to become like a light bulb that gets turned on and off by external situations. As I was saying, people are nice to me, they do what I want, I'm on. They're not nice to me, they don't do what I want, I'm off. But that's because I'm not on already inside. That's because I don't have those switches inside. I've given those switches outside. I've said that what I need is how you behave, how you act, what you do, what you say. And I don't. I have it inside. But that's what you've got to find, is how do I hold the switches of my life inside? We react when our internal batteries are very weak. This is why you notice, for example, even something as simple as you didn't get enough sleep last night. Right? Something happened, sone paidatko. The next day, what we notice is we tend to be a little bit more cranky. The sort of thing that wouldn't necessarily upset us normally, if we haven't had any sleep, especially if you haven't had any sleep for several days in a row, we're more likely to react. Now that's on just a physical level, but our batteries also get low on a spiritual level, not just physically. It's not just the body needs sleep. Spiritually, we need that energy. And so this is where our spiritual practice comes in. So in the same way that I'm more likely to react if I haven't gotten enough sleep, I'm more likely to react if I haven't meditated. More likely to react if I haven't done my japa. More likely to react if I haven't gone within. And this is where you have to keep coming back and grounding yourself, so that you're anchored. If you're not anchored, every wave that comes, you go, the boat goes here, the boat goes there, the boat is out to sea. But when you're anchored, then the waves come, but you're still there. And that's what our spiritual practice does, is it anchors us. So when you react, don't worry, just think of it as God's little reminder to you. You know, we get reminders on our phone, it's sort of God's bing. Meditate. Bing. Go back to Rishikesh. Bing. Anchor within. Right? Just kind of think of it as sort of God's reminder on your phone. that says your batteries are low.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. How can we serve people without taking anything from them? If you take something from someone, it's called an exchange, or a deal, or a bargain, or business. I mean, there's a lot of different words that we use for the give and take of how most of the world works. In order for something to be real service, seva, as we say, not service like a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant, but seva, it has to be given without taking something from someone. Otherwise, we don't actually attain that which we're looking for in it. If I'm looking for something from you in my seva, whether it's that you're going to pay me for it, or even whether it's just that you're going to love me for it, or you're going to praise me for it, or you're going to, you know, appreciate me, whatever it may be. If I'm looking for something in it, I actually miss the opportunity of what real seva is. If what I'm looking for is to get something back, then I might want to consider going into business, which is not a bad thing, by the way. It's not business is bad, or a deal is bad, or give and take is bad. It's how the world works. If I grow potatoes and I need rice and you grow rice, well, I'll give you a sack of potatoes, you give me a sack of rice, we're good. Nothing wrong with that. If I've got money and you've got apples and I want apples and you need money, I give you money, you give me apples, we're good. Again, nothing wrong with that. But you wouldn't consider any of that seva. When something is seva, service, they say, but we say seva, it has to be from a place of that which I get in the act of serving, which is a very subtle and very crucial distinction. In business, in bargaining, what I get from doing something is given to me by you. So either it's money, or it's potatoes, or it's apples, or it's love and appreciation, or it's a promotion, or whatever it is that I want. In seva, what I get out of it is actually the inner experience of serving. that inner experience of being a tool in God's hands. You know, a lot of times people say to me, God, you left everything. You came from America, and, you know, people, they'll refer to me and say, oh, she's the one, she left everything, as though it were this huge sacrifice, as though I gave up happiness for unhappiness, and that was some great spiritual sacrifice, and, you know, I should be praised for it. And it's actually not like that at all. What I always try to explain is I've made, actually, and all of us make, the same choices that everyone makes. Whatever we do, we actually do it to be happy. If I get up every day and I go to the office and to a job that I hate to make money, well, I do that because on some level in my mind, I believe that that money is going to make me happy. Whether it's because I'll be rich and then I'll feel happy, or I'm going to be able to buy something that will make me happy, or I will go on a vacation that will make me happy, or whatever it may be. Or I'm going to do it for you. Then you will love me. When you love me, I will feel happy. Again, it's all about my happiness. I will do it. You will appreciate me. You will praise me. Then I will feel happy. And it's important to remember here also, happiness is not bad. Happiness is a great goal. It's what motivates us to do whatever we do. Right after survivalism. As Pooja Swamiji was saying on the Ghat, even a worm doesn't want to die. So our first instinct is we should survive. Our second instinct is we should be happy. So there's nothing wrong with looking for happiness. The difference between looking for it in, I'm going to make a lot of money, then I'm going to buy, you know, a big monster truck and I'll be happy, versus I'm going to do seva and then be happy, is the level at which the happiness stays. But if we are looking for something in the service, I'm gonna win a humanitarian award. I'm gonna get a gold star. I'm gonna get this, whatever it may be. We're missing the opportunity for a happiness greater than what you get when you work for money or for potatoes or for apples. Because the happiness that comes in serving with absolutely no expectation of getting anything, including anyone's love, including anyone's praise, including anyone's appreciation, is that you have to find, in the act of doing it itself, in the act of that selflessness itself, in the act of creating enough space around the ego, that it's no longer the ego's game, that in that you find the happiness. So seva actually is very, it's very subtle. The happiness we get from it is not from what we actually get in return. It's not even in an enjoyment of what we're doing, because sometimes that's also a motivating factor that makes us happy. So maybe this job doesn't pay very well, but I love to do it. Thank God that's what motivates all of our amazing teachers in the world, right? I mean, tragically, the job of a teacher is one of the worst paid jobs in the world. But they do it because they enjoy it. So that in and of itself is its own reward. So that's somebody who isn't looking for happiness in the money, but is looking for happiness in the actual hour-by-hour job. But seva, again, gets more subtle. Because it may not even be something you enjoy. I don't know anybody who enjoys cleaning toilets, sweeping the floor. And in a lot of places, that's the service job that gets given. certainly not something that in and of itself is enjoyable on any level. Folding envelopes, licking stamps, you know, I used to work for Greenpeace and we went door to door knocking on people's, you know, doorsteps trying to get them to donate money. You know, in and of itself, not fun. But in the act of doing it, in the act of being this tool in God's hands, you actually get an experience of surrender. That I don't think you can get anywhere else, which is why all of the scriptures and all of the spiritual teachings emphasize service, selfless service. And why, interestingly, in a lot of places, they make it things like cleaning the toilets. Because, you know, if you're, like when I was knocking on doors for Greenpeace, for example, there's a part of the mind that at least can say, oh, well, I'm doing something very important. Look, I'm saving the turtles. Look, I'm saving the dolphins. And the more important in quotes, the job feels, the more interestingly the ego actually can get in, and the more important it is for us to keep the ego out. Doesn't mean that we should not do important things and line up to clean toilets instead. All of the other tasks actually are what have to be done. Even more important than cleaning toilets. But from the perspective of our focus, our intention, we have to imagine that we are cleaning toilets, such that the ego of what I'm doing is important doesn't sink in. And this is where seva gives us that happiness on a much deeper level. Because once you've removed, not going to get paid for it, not going to expect praise or appreciation or love or anything from it, not even going to enjoy what you're doing, what are you left with? You're left with the space in which that joy of surrender, joy of being the tool in God's hands is available, which it isn't available otherwise. And this is what Lord Krishna speaks about in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again in different ways about remember, you're not the doer. Just surrender. Just be a tool. This is what the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi gives us also. So it's not just this tradition. If you look at actually the heart deep, mystical, divinely connected traditions of so many different religions, you'll see different references to this concept of just being a tool in the divine's hands. Oh Lord, make me an instrument of thy mercy. An instrument, a tool. Not, oh Lord, make me the CEO of the company that runs thy mercy. Oh Lord, make me be the most merciful so that I'm the one who gets the trophy for mercy. Oh Lord, let me be an instrument, a vehicle, a tool of thy mercy. So this is what service offers us, which is why it's essential that we not take from someone. Should you get a smile? Should you get love? Fantastic. But then be sure to give that also. So somebody gives you love, give them love. Not, I'm taking this love as in exchange for what I've done. Oh, we've built you a school, now you get to love me, great, we're even. No. We've built you a school for the opportunity to perform service. Oh, you're hugging me? How beautiful. I get an opportunity to hug you too. Thank you for giving me two opportunities instead of just one. I thought I only had an opportunity to build a school. Now I also have an opportunity to hug you. So it's not the hug or the love in exchange for what we've done. It's the hug and the love as perhaps sometimes on occasion, yet another opportunity to give something else back to people. Another hug, more love. So seva is the service that keeps giving. That just keeps giving until, as Pooja Swamiji says, we learn to give like the sun or give like Ganga. Flowing, 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 shining, 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 with no hesitation and no vacation and no expectation and no discrimination. So that becomes ultimately, in his words, the goal of it.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. Meditation or dhyan, sadhana and tapasya, the difference. First of all, I mean, we'll get into them, but first of all, it's really important not to get ourselves worked up over semantics. Spirituality is something to be felt and experienced and lived, and whether you want to call it my meditation, or you want to call it my sadhana, or you want to call it my tapasya, it's all good. Just do it. Now, sadhana, literally translated as spiritual practice. So sadhana is going to include all of the aspects of our spiritual practice. Chances are it includes some seated meditation, the kind where we sit in the dark or our eyes closed, chant a mantra, do some meditation. Chances are that sadhana will include some service, seva. Pooja Swamiji says there is no difference between seva and sadhana. They are one. But when you give us these semantic differences, so let's call sadhana this broad umbrella of spiritual practice. What's it made of? What are the bricks that make up sadhana? Rather than umbrella, think of it actually as a temple that's made up of lots of bricks. What are the bricks of sadhana? Well, all of the things that constitute your spiritual practice. It can be your meditation, your yoga, your pranayama, your japa, your seva for sure. It could be being polite and nice and loving to your mother-in-law who is horrible to you. That's also sadhana. Because that's staying grounded and anchored in your spiritual practice. That staying as an energetic transmitter of love will be sadhana. So sadhana is everything that is part of our spiritual practice, that is bringing us closer to God. It could include fasting, it could include pilgrimages, it could include the whole gamut of the things that bring us closer to the divine. Tapasya is very, very similar to sadhana, but typically it tends to refer more to what in English we would call austerities. But it's a semantic difference, and typically sadhana and tapasya can be used interchangeably. All of the things that I just gave you as parts of sadhana also are parts of tapasya. But typically sadhana gets translated as spiritual practice, tapasya tends to get translated as austerities. So when we think of tapasya, we think of fasting, something that's very severe. But a lot of times, staying spiritually grounded and anchored is very severe, wherever you are. You don't have to be in a jungle. You don't have to be refraining from food. That tapasya is whatever you are doing that is connecting you to the divine. But there's typically, usually when we think about it, an element of sort of hardship. When you think of tapasya, you think of hardship in some way. It doesn't have to be hard. And meditation, of course, dhyan, we tend to think of it as what we do when we sit with our eyes closed. But it doesn't have to be. Meditation, as we always emphasize, like yoga, is not just what you do, it's who you are. So meditation is not just that which you do on a cushion any more than yoga is that which you do on a mat. It's how you live. How do I live my meditation? In my meditation, I'm connecting with God. Well, when I stand up from my cushion, do I lose that connection? I shouldn't, if my meditation is strong, if my meditation is good. And so they really all can be used interchangeably. Meditation is that which we do to connect with God. If you look at the eight limbs of yoga, right before samadhi, the seventh is dhyan, meditation. So as we move up, right before we get into divine samadhi, that ecstatic bliss of union, we're doing meditation. So that's what brings us into that union. As is sadhana, as is tapasya. So just do it.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. Our thoughts come from lots of different places. One place that our thoughts come are what we call our sanskaras, which is our patterning. So if you're raised in a certain type of family with certain types of values and ethics or certain culture, you're going to think about those things, you're going to think in that way. It comes from more recent things. You were just seeing something on TV or you just watched a movie about something. If it impacted you, maybe you'll think about it in the car home or you'll think about it as you're going to sleep that night. Maybe you'll even dream about it. So you'll start to think about that. Somebody tells you something, you start thinking about that. But our thoughts also come from chemicals that are in our bodies. This is why it's so important to eat sattvic food. Food that is balanced, food that is light, as we say, not light like, not light as in a salad is light, but light as in of light rather than of darkness. That's what sattvic food is. And so we eat vegetarian, we eat simple, we eat food that is in alignment with a peaceful way of being. You don't eat food that's old, food that's stale, you don't eat food that's too spicy, you don't eat things that are going to pull the insides around. So that's one way of chemicals. But another way of chemicals is also just our hormones. How old are you? 16, okay. Now, up until not very long ago, and if you look at the evolution of humans, if you look at how long that evolution has happened, how long it has taken us to change and evolve and adapt, it happens very slowly. Evolution happens very, very, very slowly. A lot of your body, a lot of the physical parts of your body have no idea that you're living in a world now in which you're going to go to college and you're going to go to graduate school and you're going to become the defense minister of India, and chances are you're not going to die at 40, you know, of some epidemic, but chances are you're going to live to, you know, over 80, 90, even 100. Our human longevity and our cultural civilization has changed much faster than our physical bodies have in terms of a lot of what flows in our bodies in terms of hormones. And I mention this because your body is being flooded with hormones that have no idea what you've got planned for your life. Those hormones have one thing and one thing in mind only, which is the propagation of the species, okay? The only way the species is gonna propagate is you will make babies, okay? That's how species keep going. Those chemicals in your body have one agenda and one agenda only, babies. Because that's the only way that the human race continues. Now, unfortunately, you cannot negotiate with them. You cannot say, "Ki jara ruk jao." We have a lot of time. We've got 15 years easily. No rush. The hormones don't negotiate. All those hormones know is that not very long ago, chances are you were going to die around 40-ish. Chances are that a lot of your babies were going to die. That in order to have, you know, one or two living babies, you were going to have to give birth 8, 9, 10 times. Well, if you're dying at 40, that doesn't give you a lot of years. Better start soon. That's what these chemicals in your body, that's all they know. Babies, 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 babies. And I mention this because when we are teenagers, when we are young, our bodies are being flooded suddenly out of the blue. 1 minute we were kids, books and art and games and sports, and the next minute suddenly there is these chemicals in our body. And suddenly our bodies are saying, babies, 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 babies. And so the girls are like, oh, boys. The boys are like, oh, girls. Now, and then our parents and our sanskaras are saying, don't look, sit down, study. And we know that that's the right thing to do, but our bodies are still saying, babies, 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 babies. And this creates a lot of tension. Nothing to feel bad about. This is how your body is working. But it's important to understand that's not what you're feeling, like the truth of who you are. That's what these chemicals in your body that still think that you have to give birth 10 times between now and when you're 40, that's what they think. So you just need to make sure that you don't put them in the driver's seat of your life. Okay? Don't hate them. Don't let them drive you crazy. Realize that ultimately they are just there trying to keep the species afloat, and that, you know, we need babies and otherwise we're all going to just go extinct. That's their only agenda, is humanity should not go extinct. So you can appreciate them, but just don't give them the steering wheel of your life. Okay? Tell them to sit in the back. Here's your game. I'm not going to let you drive this vehicle because I know my agenda is not 10 babies between now and when I'm 40. I've got a totally different agenda, totally different life path I'm walking. But don't feel badly about it is the point. Don't allow it to make you feel like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Nothing is wrong with you. It means your body is functioning perfectly. And one of the parts of the package deal of a perfectly functioning body is that you've got these chemicals in your bloodstream that we call hormones. And they come in our brain, and it's a long thing, I won't go into the science of it here, but they impact us, and suddenly they make us think in ways that we never thought. But don't worry about it. Just keep your mind focused.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.